Welcome to Up with the Sun, a program dedicated to the teachings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Up with the Sun is produced by Community Educational Television, San Antonio Community Educational TV, and Jacksonville Educators Broadcasting. Now we present Up with the Sun.
Well, good morning. My name is Dr. Andy Woods, and I am a professor of Bible and Theology at the College of Biblical Houston, and it's my privilege to teach a variety of sessions, covering about five sessions total. We've already done the first session, and now we're moving into session two. And in essence, what we're covering in these sessions is Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks. And so if you have a copy of your Bible nearby, you might want to open it to Daniel 9, verses 24 through 27. The last time we were together, we sort of talked about the importance of this prophecy. It's not one of the easiest prophecies in the Bible to understand, but I believe the Holy Spirit is a rewarder of the diligent Bible student. Because when you give your mind to a prophecy like this, you, in essence, walk away with a tremendous understanding that the Bible truly is God's Word. It reveals the end from the beginning. And you also walk away with a general time frame or a blueprint for God's end time program and end time drama. What we have done is we have divided this prophecy into 10 concepts or 10 facts. We've also explained that the prophecy was given to Daniel by God through the angel Gabriel at a time when the nation of Israel was in Babylonian captivity. There were just a few years on that 70-year captivity waiting until Israel would return back into the land. We have sort of described the circumstances which gave rise to this prophecy, why Israel went into Babylonian captivity. But Daniel, sensing that the 70-year captivity was about to end, begins to, in Daniel 9, specifically verses 3 through 19, seek the face of God for the future of the nation. And God delivered in a magnificent way by giving Daniel a time clock or a time frame concerning what God was going to do for Israel in the future. And we've broken this down, as I said before, into 10 facts or concepts. And the first fact that we saw is that this prophecy concerns the nation of Israel. 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your city. So it's not a prophecy about world history or the age of the church. It is a prophecy specifically about the Jewish nation. And then the second fact that we saw is 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your city. And we took a very strong and hard look at what that phrase 70 weeks, or some of your Bible translations may say 77s, we took a strong look at what that expression means. And we determined that it means a 490-year period of time. God, through Gabriel, gave to Daniel a stopwatch with 490 years on it. The stopwatch has three buttons, a start button, a pause button, and a stop button, as we will see. And then we ventured further and we said, okay, there's 490 years here. How many days per year are we talking about? And we saw that God has not left us in darkness about this issue either. In the mind of God, as established in the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation, God looks at years in terms of 360-day years. And now we're ready to move into fact number four. And you have to sort of mentally track with me in these facts. There'll be 10 total. But if you've grasped what we've covered so far, we're ready to move into fact number four. Number four, six prophecies will be fulfilled at this conclusion of this 490-year time period. In other words, at the conclusion of this 490-year time period, six events will have been accomplished in the life of the nation of Israel. So God says to Daniel, when the 490 years is over, six things will be a reality for the Jewish nation. And they're mentioned right there in verse 24. 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression. That's number one. Number two, to make an end of sin. Number three, to make an atonement for iniquity. The next one, to bring in everlasting righteousness. The next one, to seal up vision and prophecy. And the last one, to anoint the most holy place. So what you find there are about six clauses. And when you take them and put them together, in essence what they are talking about is the physical and spiritual restoration of the nation of Israel. Once the 490 years is over, Israel will be in her fulfillment, not only politically, but she will be in faith. She will be spiritually restored as well. As we advance to the next slide, we see those six clauses outlined for us. The book, the great scholar Arnold Fruchtenbaum defines, who was a Hebrew Christian scholar, he defines these clauses as follows. The first three are negative in the sense that three things will stop for Israel. And then the final three are positive in the sense that these things are good things that will happen for the nation of Israel. So let's walk through these point by point if we can. The first thing that will happen at the conclusion of the 490 years is that there will be a finishing of transgression. And essentially what that means is Israel will finish rejecting Jesus Christ. Right now the Jewish nation is a Christ-rejecting nation. There are occasionally Jews, descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that become Christians today. And we praise God for every single one of them. But by and large, they're not the norm. The pattern for the Jewish people is Christ rejection. The nation of Israel, even today as I speak, is a Christ-rejecting nation. They are a Christ-rejecting people. And yet, at the end of these 490 years, that will stop. Israel will finish rejecting Jesus. Number two, there'll be an end of sin. In other words, Israel's daily sins will cease. And that is the advent of what we call the New Covenant, which is given in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34, where God promised that the day would come when he would take his laws and write them on the hearts of the Jewish people. They would be internally transformed, much the same way we, as members of Christ's church, are internally transformed or born again the moment we trust Christ. That spiritual birth that all Christians have experienced will be experienced by the Jewish people at the end of this 490-year period. Number three, there will be an atonement for iniquity. Now, atonement is the substitutionary death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, as we hopefully know, stepped out of eternity into time to bear the wrath of God in our place because of our sin debt. And the moment we appropriate by faith or accept by faith what Jesus has done for us is the moment we are saved. We are covered by the blood of the Lamb. But the atonement does not do anybody any good until they trust in what Jesus has done. So the day will come at the end of this 490-year period where the nation of Israel will accept the atonement and consequently be covered by the blood of the Lamb. Dropping down to number four, to bring in everlasting righteousness. And that has to do with the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. Daniel, I believe, thought the kingdom was going to come at the end of the prior 490 years of discipline. And God, through Gabriel, says, no, no, no. The kingdom will come at the end of the next 490 years that are outlined here in Daniel 9, 24 and 27. So that smiting stone that Daniel, saw as he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's vision in Daniel 2, that smiting stone that strikes the feet of the statue, destroys Gentile powers, and grows and grows and grows till it fills the whole earth. That kingdom of God upon the earth will come through the Jewish nation and consequently bless the world at the end of this 490-year period. Number five, there'll be a sealing up of vision and prophecy. And in essence, what that means is all of the promises that God has made to national Israel will be in a state of fulfillment. God has promised the nation of Israel many, many things. And many of those things are yet to be fulfilled from our time perspective today. But at the end of this 490-year period, all of those prophecies will be fulfilled. All of the visions that God gave for the nation of Israel will find a fulfillment. And then finally, number six, there will be an anointing of the most holy place. The most holy place is a reference to the temple. And what it is speaking of is the inauguration or the advent of something called the millennial temple. Daniel's contemporary, Ezekiel, remember Daniel and Ezekiel are both prophesying during the Babylonian captivity. Daniel's contemporary Ezekiel describes in great detail through prophecies that God gave him the millennial temple. You can read about it in Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48. So that entire temple structure will become a reality for the nation of Israel. So what then is fact number four? Fact number four is simply this. When the 490-year period reaches its fruition or reaches its conclusion, Israel will be restored politically and spiritually. Let's move, if we could, now to a fifth fact as we advance the slides. Number five, this number five deals with this issue. When does this stopwatch start to run? You know, when you call and ask for a taxi cab, for example, to come to your home, the question you have is, when does the meter start to run? Because when does the meter run determines how much you're going to pay. Does the meter start to run when the car pulls up to the front of your curb or your driveway? Or does the meter start to run when you actually sit down? Or does the meter start to run when the driver begins to drive you somewhere? So that's generally a good question to ask, is when does the meter start running? And so we've talked about a 490-year stopwatch, and we ask ourselves, okay, this is an interesting idea, but when did God put his hand on the start button? Notice, if you will, Daniel 9:25. It says, "So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem." The language is very specific there in verse 25. The meter, or the 490-year stopwatch, will start to tick. God's finger will go on the start button of this stopwatch the moment there is some sort of decree to restore and rebuild the city of Jerusalem. As we advance the slide, we see that many people have sought to locate this decree in history. They typically run to the book of Ezra, because in the book of Ezra there are multiple decrees. There's a decree by Cyrus in 538, a decree by Darius in 520, a decree by Artaxerxes in 458. I have all of the verses there on the screen for you to see. And people, I think, mistakenly believe that one or more of these decrees is the decree which began to run the time clock. And I would just submit to you that none of these decrees work, because all of them pertain to the temple. These are all decrees that relate to the Jewish temple that the Jews began to rebuild as they returned from the land of Israel during the 70-year captivity. So what decree could be in line? As we continue with the slides, it talks specifically in this text about a decree not to rebuild the temple, but a decree to rebuild Jerusalem. Now, we have to be committed to a literal approach to this prophecy, or we can't understand it. God says what he means and means what he says. God says the meter will start to run when there is a decree not to rebuild the temple, but to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. Is there such a decree like that in biblical history? And the answer is yes. Because in the book of Nehemiah, there was a man named Nehemiah. Many Christians are familiar with the story of Nehemiah, who was a Jew. He was a cupbearer, if you will, in the court of Artaxerxes in Persia. This would be, close to 100 years after the time of Daniel. Daniel had this vision, as we saw last time, in about 538 B.C., and this Nehemiah decree begins around 444 B.C., as I'll show you. But Nehemiah was burdened because he knew that there were no walls around the city of Jerusalem. He was a Jew. He understood that the city of Jerusalem was vulnerable with no walls around it, so he petitioned his boss. Artaxerxes, the Persian ruler, was his boss. He petitioned his boss to allow him to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls around that city. And we know that it was the city that was on Nehemiah's mind. Nehemiah 2, verse 3, says this, "I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies desolate?" He says in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 5, "I said to the king, if it please the king, and if your servant has found favor before you, send me to Judah, to the city," there's that word city again, "of my fathers." Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress, which is by the temple, for the wall of the city," there's that word again, "the wall of the city, for the house which I will go." Nehemiah was burdened for the city of Jerusalem. He petitioned Artaxerxes to return from Persia back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. And the moment that Artaxerxes gave a decree allowing Nehemiah to return is the moment that divine hand put his finger on the start button of the stopwatch, and the 490 years started to elapse. It is interesting that in Daniel 9:25, it talks about how the wall would be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. And that's a very good description of events in the book of Nehemiah as you study it, how those Jews under great persecution rebuilt that wall around the city of Jerusalem, although they did so, rebuilding that wall in record time. Now, one of the things we can do is we can determine exactly when this decree was issued. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 1 says this, "It came about in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes." Now, Artaxerxes' father, we know from extra-biblical writings, Artaxerxes' father left the throne in December of 465. So that means Artaxerxes, Nehemiah's boss, came to the throne at the beginning of 464 B.C. 464 B.C. was the beginning of Artaxerxes' reign. Now, you'll notice very clearly in Nehemiah 2 and verse 1, it says this decree was issued in the 20th year of Artaxerxes. So the 20th year of Artaxerxes would be 444 B.C. And as you read Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1, even more carefully, it talks about how this decree was issued in the month of Nisan. Now, Nisan is a Jewish month, and it correlates into our Gentile calendar year with the month of March. And tradition has it that these Persian kings issued these decrees on the first day of the month. The first of Nisan, 444 B.C., was when this decree was issued. And so when we correlate it to our Gentile calendar year system, we can document the exact moment in time when God's hand moved back on the stopwatch and he hit the start button, and the 490 years started to tick. It began March the 5th, 444 B.C. A decree was issued allowing Nehemiah to return, and that's the moment the 490-year stopwatch started to run. Now, this prophecy that Daniel had started to transpire long after Daniel had died and left the scene. Daniel saw these things in 538, and this is a decree issued in 444. So almost 100 years have passed, but God has not forgotten about his word, his truth, and his promises. And so consequently, that is when this 490-year stopwatch began to expire. That takes us to fact number 6. And this is such a fascinating fact, it may bleed over a little bit into our next session. So we'll get a little bit of it started, and then we'll pick up the pace when we get together next time. But fact number 6 is simply this. Exactly 483 years will elapse in between the decree of Artaxerxes and when the Messiah would show up. So in between the decree that we've just talked about and the coming of the Messiah, there will be exactly 483 years. Notice, if you will, Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25. It puts it this way. It says, "So you are to know and to discern that from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, March the 5th, 444 BC, until the Messiah, the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. As we advance the slides, we see that between the decree of Artaxerxes and the coming of the Messiah, there is going to be 7 weeks or 7 sevens plus 62 weeks or 62 sevens for a grand total of 69 weeks or 69 sevens. Now, you'll recall last time we said that a seven is a unit of seven. So between the decree of Artaxerxes and the coming of the Messiah, there's going to be 7 sevens or 49 years plus 62 sevens or 434 years for a grand total of 69 sevens or 483 years. Exactly 483 years will take place between the decree of Artaxerxes and the coming of the Messiah. Now, you might recall fact number 3, and I told you to tuck this information in the back of your mind because it's going to pay dividends later. And here come the dividends. We said in fact number 3 that there would be exactly 360 days in a Jewish year. So if there are 483 years between the decree of Artaxerxes and the coming of the Messiah, and each day of the year consists of 360 days, we multiply 483 times 360, and we can ascertain that there will be 173,880 days in between the decree of Artaxerxes and the coming of Jesus Christ, the Jewish prince, who was never made king by the Jews, by the way. That's why he's called the prince who is to come. The prince is to show up exactly 173,880 days between the decree of Artaxerxes and when this Messiah would come. Now, here's a question. When did Jesus publicly present his messianic credentials to the nation? In other words, what is the specific point in time where the Jewish prince who was seeking to be enthroned by the people as their king, when was the specific time in history in the Bible and the New Testament when this king presented his messianic credentials to the nation? And the answer very clearly is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday was the time in history where he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Some of the people there were chanting a messianic psalm. And that's the time in history where he presented his messianic credentials to the nation. What Daniel 9:25 is saying is exactly 173,880 days is going to elapse between the decree of Artaxerxes, Nehemiah 2, and Palm Sunday. The $20 question is simply this. Are there 173,880 days in between the decree of Artaxerxes and Palm Sunday? Dr. Harold Honer, a great scholar, in a particular book that he wrote, has determined that that prophecy was fulfilled to the exact day. He says there are exactly 173,880 days between March the 5th, 444 BC, and March the 30th, AD 33. March the 30th, AD 33, according to Dr. Honer, is the day in which Palm Sunday occurred. He, in one of his great books, has documented the day Christ died, and he backs up on the calendar, and he determines that March the 30th, AD 33, is indeed the day of Palm Sunday. And so are there really 173,880 days between those two events? Well, when you go from 444 BC to AD 33, you've got 477 years. You have to subtract a year. And you subtract a year because between 1 BC and 1 AD counts as 1 year, not two. And then you take that number 476 years and you multiply it by 365 days, because we're talking about time periods on the Gentile system, March the 5th, March 30th, and so forth. And you come out to 173,740 days. I'm advancing the slide one more time. And then we have to factor in 25 days. The 25 days essentially take place in between March the 5th and March 30th, and then we factor in leap years. Dr. Honer says there's about 115 leap years, so we throw those days in for leap years. And you add all that up, and guess what the figure comes out to? Comes out to 173,880 days. There should be a chart in front of you that has the name Sir Robert Anderson on it. And you'll notice that Sir Robert Anderson was really the first individual who, in essence, tried to figure out this concept or this idea. Sir Robert Anderson was a brilliant man. He worked for Scotland Yard. He was instrumental in resolving the Jack the Ripper case. And he was really the first one to sort of show that the prophecy of the 70 weeks has a potential of working out to the exact day. His numbers are a little bit different than Honer's, and Honer felt there was some extra biblical data available in his time that was not available in Sir Robert Anderson's time. But both of these giants, Dr. Harold Honer and Sir Robert Anderson, have shown that this prophecy of the 70 weeks has the potential of being fulfilled to the exact day. There are exactly 173,880 days, when you do the math, between the decree of Artaxerxes and the coming of Jesus Christ to his own on Palm Sunday. And so this is a staggering thing that we're learning here. It becomes a rule by which we can understand the blueprint of God and the timetable of God. God is a specific God. He deals in time with minute details. This should cause us to worship him more and praise him more as we learn more and more about his truth and discover his program for the end.
You have been watching Up at the Sun with professors from the College of Biblical Studies. If you would like more information about the college, please contact us at 713-77-BIBLE or visit us online at cbshouston.edu. Here at the College of Biblical Studies, we offer truth, training, and transformation.